Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Well, we're going to jump in. This is not necessarily going to be by any means a new message, but I pray that you will, and I'm going to encourage you to get a pen and paper. I really want to encourage you to do that on a regular basis, but get a pen and paper to be able to take notes and scriptures. Hopefully somebody can get the scriptures up. If you're watching on Facebook and if somebody doesn't pull up the scripture and put it up there, maybe try that. If you're on YouTube, maybe somebody can do that as well on YouTube, because it's so important to not only hear the scripture, but to read the scriptures. And again, this is not necessarily a new message, but I believe for the season that we're in, it is again a timely message. Interesting that I touched on this almost a year ago, under a year ago. We talked a little bit about this, probably from a different angle, but I'm telling you, in the season that we're in, the world that we're living in, the culture that we're living in, all that stuff, we really need to grab a hold of this. So let's start from the scripture that we've been kind of using to dive in. Let's turn to Romans 15:13. I want to kind of quote two things that I've said over the last couple weeks. Last week I said this, I said we can't always control what we face in a new year, but we can control how we face it. Church, I think the more that I grow in the Lord, I realize that our relationship with God is co-laboring. The more I realize, the more I'm into the Word, it's not, let me put it this way, you know, God wants us to be blessed. If we didn't have to co-labor, we would probably think God wants me to be blessed, therefore I will wait and sit at home for his blessing. But how many know that God has given us the ability to use our hands to create finances, right? I need somebody in this room to say amen to that. There's not many, but somebody say amen. You know, Rod, I think of you, just even in the last little while with woodworking. I think of different ones that have taken on, actually Sean's taken on woodworking. Even Judy, I found out, was making little figurines. Seems like wood is the medium right now to be playing with. But there are so many people that are just diving in and exploring, and Karen getting raised with what she's doing and diving in. But how many know that Karen had to do a lot of work? She had to learn the computer. She had to learn the skills that was needed. She needed to co-labor with what God wanted to do. And because she did it with such excellence, she's been getting raises and promotions. And I can only tell you, I think where God's going to take this is going to be incredible for her. But there is a co-laboring. So God wants us to be blessed, but he doesn't want us to sit on our tushes and just expect it just to come in. Now, sometimes he does that. Actually, your brother had an incredible testimony, wasn't it? Of just God taking away debt and different ones. I think, James, you've had testimonies about that. God just coming in and wiping away debt. And he wants to do that. But he also wants us to co-labor and use the gifts that he's given us. So again, we can't always control what's going to happen, but we can control how we face what's going to happen. And I also said crisis is an accelerator, and often that will both show us the good and the bad and the ugly, often. Romans 15:13, we've started this back when we started to talk about hope, and it says, now may the God of hope. So man, if you do not know who God is, you just need to know right now God is a God of hope. So if you are hopeless, you need to tap into the God that is God of hope. Amen. God is a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, key word. So there's a lot of key words. We want him to fill you. And I wrote on my lines, the first question I asked myself is how? How do we get filled with the God of hope? That's really important. In believing, there's an answer, that you may abound more than super enough, super abundant in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we've looked a lot at hope, but today I want to look at the title or the word peace. Because I think more than ever before right now in our culture, we need to be people that know how to enter into peace. And I think you talked about it. I had to leave the room for a second. But if you've not read Andrea's devotion, you need to. Such a good devotion. I want to quote one of her lines. We must nuach to ruach. And if you don't know what I'm saying, you haven't read the devotional yet, and you need to. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because that is an answer. So again, I want to remind you, co-laboring. You know, to me, it'd be like God says, man, I want to fill you up, you know, and if we're talking in the natural food, if we just sit at the table and go, I'm ready to be filled and yet never eat, you're never going to be full. We need to learn to eat. So we're talking about peace. I want to read Romans 15:13 out of the Passion. I love the translation. It says, now may the God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace. Remember that, perfect peace, as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. So church, I really want to encourage you. You know, a lot of times, I know we're looking for that next revelation, the next wow. I think, and I've said this many times, I think sometimes we need to go back to the simplicity of the gospel. There are some key things in this world right now that we need to be going back to. There's even words that we need to take back. All right, so we're going to talk about peace today. We need to learn how to come into the peace of the Lord, because he promises us peace, and you're going to learn that he actually is the very essence of peace. He is peace. But the question is, how do we come into it? I've been through seasons where I quickly realize it's great theology, but it's not always, there's a practical side that unless we do, we may not enter into. You know, they had to, in order to enter into the promised land, there was a part that they had to play. They actually had to march around Jericho 7 times. Although in the end, it was God. They blew the trumpets, and people can look at the frequency and all that. And there might be part of that that's true that caused it to fall. But the reality is, it was God that caused the wall to fall. It was God that caused the waters to part. But we have to do our part. It was actually Moses that needed to raise his hand in front of the water in faith. So there's always an active part that we need to do. And I think the challenge is we live in a very hectic, chaotic society. We actually, I wanted to call this fight for peace, but I think that could be misconstrued. So I called it pursuing peace. We need to pursue peace. Now, what I want you to know is, yes, we need to have peace in our lives with others, but I'm really going to start with the peace that we need to have in our own life first. That's really what I'm focusing on today. Everybody that agrees said amen. All right. So I want to turn. I'm going to have a bunch of scriptures. That's why we may not be able to read all of them, but at least you can, or turn to all of them. But I want you to at least to write them down. So let's start with Isaiah 26, one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah. So listen, here's what I know. A lot of times what we call peace is actually a circumstance that we've entered into. It could be a scenario, it could be a season, but there is a level of peace that the Lord wants us to enter into that surpasses all understanding. A perfect peace that Romans just talked about in the Passion Translation. We're going to see that very terminology again in Isaiah. And I want to describe it like this. You know, you can be on a beautiful island, even a secluded island. You could be in a hammock. The wind, the waves are coming in. A warm wind is blowing on your face. And the reality is this. You could be in that circumstance, and your mind could be going 1,000 miles a minute with cares of this world. Even though the circumstance, you should be in peace, but you could be burdened by the cares of this world. You could also, though, be on a subway with 1,000 people, with everything going on around you, and be in perfect peace. Because it's not always the situation or the circumstances that brings the peace that we're talking about. You know, I would love some things to change right now, but the reality is, unless we can find what this perfect peace is and how to enter into it, we're always going to be searching for moments instead of the peace of God, or as the Old Testament calls it, the shalom of God, which we know. That's how Jewish people greet each other, shalom. All right, so Isaiah 26, we're going to look at verse 3 and 4 specifically. There are keys in this that I want to bounce off of. It says, you will keep him. Everybody turn to somebody, your neighbor, somebody on your couch, you know, shout it out on Facebook. Say, that him is you. You will keep him, you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will keep him in perfect peace. Now, here we go. That's a great word, how. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. There are some scriptures, Rod, that I find that I'm like, man, there's just so much in one scripture. I think about Romans 15:13. There's so much in that scripture. Now there's so much in this scripture. So let's break it down, and we're going to look through this scripture and talk about certain things and then jump to other scriptures just to confirm it. So you need to have your Bible ready to go. All right. It says, and I'm going to read it in a couple different translations, then we'll dissect it, all right? All right, let's read it out of, this is the New Living Translation. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. I'm reading it out of different scriptures because I believe each translation can have a part of the fullness of what this scripture is trying to declare. This is the Passion Translation. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Yes, trust in the Lord Yahweh forever and ever. For Yah, the Lord God, is your rock of ages. There's another key word in there we're going to look at. And one more translation. This is the Amplified. You will keep him in perfect and constant peace. I love what they throw in there. How many want to be in constant peace? I'm okay with, you know, it's great to have moments of peace, but if I could choose anything, I'll choose constant peace. You will keep him in perfect and constant peace, the ones whose mind is steadfast. And then the Amplified describes it. That is committed and focused on you, both inclination and character. And because he trusts and takes refuge in you, and then it describes this, with hope and confident expectation, trust confidently in the Lord forever. He is your fortress, your shield, your banner, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock of ages. I don't know. There's so many good things in there. All right, let's break it down, all right? I feel like rapping at that moment when I say let's break it down. Break it down. Okay, let's look at these words. So we're talking about co-laboring. We're talking about the part that we play. So God wants to give us perfect peace. God actually is perfect peace. Let me just throw out a scripture. We're not going to turn to it, but let me just share a scripture out of Isaiah. If I can find it real quick. Thank you, Lord. It has disappeared. You love when that happens. All right, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. This is Christmas. We just passed it. Anybody else feel like Christmas is like eons ago already? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So important. That is who Jesus is. Ephesians 2, verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one. So literally it's saying he is peace. He is righteousness. All that. So, all right, back to the point. Let's look at some of these words. The word keep, it says you will keep him in perfect peace. It means to guard, to preserve, to watch over. So literally he will guard you in perfect peace. He will guard you with perfect peace. I love that. Shalom. Peace, that's the word shalom. Now, here's the cool thing. I had to text a friend last night. I had to get an answer because I needed a scholar because I thought this is really interesting. And I have to do a little more research into it to see if they use this more often. But I texted him. I said, hey, my Hebrew scholar, what does a word that is used twice actually mean? Because when it says perfect peace, it's actually shalom, shalom. It's interesting. It's, you know, I'm thinking there's got to be another word. It says shalom, shalom. It means super abundance of peace, more than you can imagine. Like it's so much, it's hard to describe. And so peace, let me just give you the idea of how much this word peace encompasses. And there is a ton that I did research wise to figure this out and other people that have done it as well. The word shalom, it's almost like salvation, how much salvation means. Shalom, completeness, wholeness, peace, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord, a state of calm without anxiety or stress. Boy, if that was a commercial and you could go there, I'd be like, yeah, sign me up. If that's the place I'm going to, Club Peace, all right? Look at those words. So again, he says, you will keep him in perfect, fill in the blank now. You will keep him in perfect completeness, perfect wholeness, perfect health, perfect welfare, perfect safety, soundness, perfect tranquility, perfect prosperity, perfect fullness. This is the portion. This is actually the portion in the Old Testament before the Holy Spirit was even given to the whole body of Christ. And this is our portion, and yet if we could be honest, how often do we live outside of perfect peace? So the question is, it's not that he brings it and takes it away. I believe the question is, what are we not doing, and what are we missing that we're not living in perfect peace? Another person said, basically, this is another theologian, basically, shalom includes the idea of wholeness, well-being, prosperity and security, all associated with God's presence with his people. That goes right back to what Andrea wrote today. You know, Lord, your presence will give us rest. Your presence. So one of the keys you need to understand, it's his presence that brings us peace. So the question we have to ask is, we're not feeling peace. We may have to step back and go, Lord, where's your presence? I need to get back into your presence. How did I step out of your presence? And I think there are ways that we step away from his presence. He does not step away from us. I believe at times we can step away from his presence and we just need to get back in. Sometimes it's not even stepping away, it's just not even being aware of his presence. One other person said this, peace in the Old Testament especially was never equated with just lack of war or circumstances. They understood that sometimes peace can be in the midst of a battle. And I love that, because I would like to think that peace is the absence of battle. But if you have a family, right? How many know that there are moments where you will never be absent of struggles? You will never be absent of disagreements. If anything is showing us anything right now, that the world is struggling to come into any sort of unity of beliefs. Unity of agreement, unity agreement of COVID, unity agreement of politics, you name it right now. You've got so many hot topics that we can't come into agreement with. So therefore, if we're waiting to come into agreement to find our peace, we will always fall short. Let's continue. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now here's tools that we need. Okay, so now we're talking about the co-laboring side. This is what he wants to give us. He wants to give us tranquility. He wants to give us wholeness. He wants to give us health. He wants to give us prosperity. Now, what is the part that we play? Here we go. Whose mind is stayed on you? Let's just look at this for a minute, all right? Whose mind is stayed on you? The actual word mind is actually better translated imagination. It's used imagination in more contexts like this. So it's literally saying whose imagination is stayed. And if you remember some of the other scriptures I read, some of the words that they said fixed on you. The word stayed actually means leaning on or resting on. The way I think of that, I think of a baby who comes out of a womb. Do you know one of the, they call it tummy time, where the baby needs to sit right against mom's belly, chest. You know, part of the reason for that is because the baby at that moment can hear the heartbeat of God, or not the heartbeat of God, the heartbeat of mom. But we need to learn to lean into the heartbeat of God. And in a world that we live in today that is so fast-paced, we actually have to learn once again. I'm so blessed the older generation still has this trait, but I find that the younger you get, the harder it is. My children are growing up in a generation where they've only known social media 24/7. You know, Rod, do you remember the day that there was not even news 24 hours a day? You had to catch the news at 10 o'clock. You know, there was a 6 o'clock news and a 10 o'clock news and a morning news. And in between, maybe you could grab a newspaper. But then they came out with C-SPAN. CNN came out with news 24/7 where they started to show things. And it just kept escalating from there, where now we have, I could turn right now and get news from every portion of the globe. And the crazy thing is that I can find out people that are dying in parts of the world that I don't even know exist, and that's going to affect my mind. The amount of information, we live in a, almost they call it a second information age already, because we came into an information age when books became so prevalent, and then the internet brought us into a whole nother level, and now we're just, it's accelerating at such a pace that we can fill our minds with information and literally be pushing away the peace of God. Now, information's not necessarily wrong, but if we do not know how to keep or stay or lean into God, our imagination could run wild. There's a famous quote, I don't know, maybe somebody knows it on here, but somebody once quoted and said, every negative thing that I ever imagined, almost none of it ever came to pass. Our imaginations can be beautiful and our imaginations can be a nightmare. Anybody ever have it where your imagination runs wild? You get a diagnosis, you get even a look from the doctor, and your imagination can begin to wonder. Let's take it even to a simple thing. You know, your wife or your husband looks at you a certain way and your imagination runs wild of what they're trying to say or think. Our imaginations need to be redeemed to line up with what God is thinking. And right now, it's easy to let our imaginations line up with what the world is thinking, and we need to let our imaginations line up with what God is thinking. So I said that word stayed is resting like a child, resting on the chest of a mother. You know, you think of John who rested and leaned on literally the chest or the bosom of Jesus. And I think he could hear. That's a close, intimate relationship that none of us in Canada are used to as men. But I also, that word means to lean like leaning against the wall, something that is so foundational, something that is so strong that you can lean against it and it's not going to move. And it says, whose mind is fixed or leaning against you. Our imagination's leaning against you. I want to encourage you, church. We need to take back our imaginations. When we want to have perfect peace that surpasses this all understanding, and we're going to turn to Philippians in a second, we need to understand it starts with getting all distractions out of the way, sitting before God, and letting our imaginations be renewed, leaning into Him, leaning into the Word. Let's turn to Philippians, if you will, please. Actually, you know what? We're going to go to Philippians, but let's start with Corinthians. We're going to go 2 Corinthians 10. It's a powerful scripture verse. We can use it for both spiritual warfare, but I really want to help you understand some of the words here. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." You know, church, we want to pull down a lot of strongholds and we often look into the spiritual realm, but do you know some of the greatest strongholds actually exist in our mind that the enemy has set up to get us to think poorly, wrongly, to live in a less than realm? And that's a stronghold that's set up. You know, if you're told certain things all your life when you're a child, if you're told that you're dumb, if you're told that you're never going to learn, that actually builds a stronghold in your mind, and that stronghold begins to dictate how you think. And you begin to live out of the lies that have been planted in your brain, and that's a stronghold. It actually begins to literally form and warp your imagination. So instead of imagining the greatness of what you can do, you begin to imagine all the horrible things that are going to happen because of the lies that you've been fed. Now listen, you may have some struggles in learning, but God can do miracles and God can overturn things, and people can sow lies into our, without even meaning to, can often sow lies into us. And that forms a stronghold. But it says that our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of these strongholds. Now listen, casting down arguments and every high thing. The King James actually says casting down imaginations. It's the word imagination that we actually have to be aware and be spiritually on guard to cast down imaginations that are trying to come in. If you're watching the news at all over the last year, and everybody has at some point, you can let your imaginations begin to run wild and begin to think the worst. Now, there are challenges out there, but we could also let our imaginations take it from here, way over here, instead of thinking of the goodness of God. And I right now am having to reel in my imaginations. I've had to this week take the very thing that I've been working on and begin to go, Lord, I need to take my own words that I'm about to preach and use them because I need to reel in my imagination right now. So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself. Now listen, your imagination can exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You think about that. My imagination can try to go higher than what God's saying. Why? Because God is good. But my imagination can try to exalt something negative that's going to happen. And then therefore, I'm putting God's goodness down below it. I'm exalting my imagination higher than God's promises. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of promises that God wants. There's a lot of things that he still wants to do. I don't know when the end is. People, you know, we've been in the end times for 2,000 years. We don't know how long before Jesus comes back. But I do know that I have a lot of prophetic words unfulfilled. You too, Rod, Andrea, Ryan, right? All right, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing, here we go, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is a great day to begin to go, what's truth, what's not, and my imagination's going to submit to the truth. And I know we go through circumstances that we do not understand, and we have to learn to lean in to God's truth and begin to say, Lord, let me say it again. If we want peace, we have to lean into this to be able to say, Lord, if I want your peace, I got to let my imagination be down and you have to be exalted over my imagination. Now, there's nothing wrong with our imaginations, but it has to be redeemed by God. I think we could all admit we've all probably imagined things that were not good, whether it's an anxious moment or even an ungodly thing. We've all had to go, whoa, 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 what am I thinking of? You know, we call it daydreaming at times. You know, students need to get a hold of their imaginations because I remember, Rod, I'm sure you've done it too. I've literally sat blank for minutes in my own world and missed somebody's conversation. Yeah, I don't know where I was, but I wasn't in that conversation. But there is a part that we play. You know, God wants to bring us peace. He is peace. But you know that peace could be sitting right in front of us and we could be so busy with our imaginations that he's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. And we're like, I just got to find peace. I got to find peace. I'm right here. And we need to let our imaginations come down. Let's turn to Philippians, another scripture that talks about it. Let's go Philippians 4. Again, keys to how to control our imagination. Philippians 4 says, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Gosh, I wish I was there. This is a journey, though. This is a journey that we're on to learn. I believe Paul got there. I looked it up again, you know, when Paul, it's in Philippians, he says, I have learned to be content. There is a learning that we go through, but he says, be anxious for nothing. Now we're talking about keys. So what are keys? Well, first of all, we're talking about taking control of our imagination, our thoughts. But then it says, be anxious for nothing in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Three keys right there. Really, I'll put it down to two. Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Now, I texted it just early on, you know. We need to get back to the simplicity of simply even walking outside like I did today and went, God, I thank you that the sun is out. You know, after almost a week of clouds, we need to learn to be grateful to go, Lord, the sun's out. Thank you. And when it's cloudy, the S-O-N is still out. Thank you, Lord. But being grateful for the things that we see in life. You know, my shower today, I jumped in. I was trying to get ready, and I jumped in a little too soon. I didn't check the temperature. And I jumped in. It wasn't freezing cold, but it certainly wasn't the way I like it. And as I got in there and I had that shiver for that moment, I became grateful because simply I went, thank you, Lord, for a warm shower. Yeah, watching World War II movies when, you know, a shower was a privilege, and they would set these places up with buckets, even in the middle of wintertime, and it was a cold shower. And although it was cold, they were thankful to be taking a bath or a shower. I'm like, God, thank you for water in our pipes that's warm. Thank you for a fireplace and a, you know, Shane, we were talking about, you know, freezers being full. Like, thank you, Lord, that I have a freezer full of food. Like, there are so many things to be thankful for. It's easy to get our eyes, and the enemy wants to get our eyes on the negative constantly. And we have to fight against that. We live in a world where the news is fed off of negativity. News makes money off of a crisis. And if there's not one going on, they'll either find one to talk about or create stuff. So it's just the reality. News sells. All right. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I want you to so take note that peace is directly related to your mind. Peace is directly related in the Old Testament and the New Testament to what you think. And God does not control what we think, we do. Therefore, it is something that we have to learn to take every thought captive. Now, here's keys. So we've got prayer and supplication and thankfulness. And then he goes on to say, hey, let me give you another key. This is how you keep your mind in peace. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'll be honest, church. I am learning to get out of a bad habit that somehow crept into my life where I began to look at the news on a daily basis, on a 3 or 4 times a day basis. And I have discovered really nothing good has come of it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to look at the news, but what I am saying is the very thing that I'm talking about, we can turn on any channel, any news feed, any social media, and begin to, finally, brethren, whatever things are not true, whatever things are not noble, we can begin to meditate on these things all day long. So if we truly want the perfect peace that he's talking about here, that not only affects our minds, but also guards our minds, we have to learn to really guard how much information is coming at us. Now, again, I'm not saying, you know, we have to understand what's going on, but at the same time, we really need to learn to guard how much we let that in. I want to challenge you today, because of the devotional, because of this rest and, you know, that we want to enter into in peace, I want to challenge you today. Don't turn on the news all day, not once. See if you can do it. If you are prone to looking to find out what is going on, take today as a Sabbath and don't even look at the news, because the problems of today will still be there tomorrow. That's the reality. Whatever's going on, you can find out about it tomorrow. And I guarantee you this, if you read it, it doesn't change what's happening. And we would be way better off to take a Sabbath from the news. Maybe for a long period of time, but I'm challenging you to do it today. So again, Philippians talks very clearly about what we should be meditating in our minds. If we really truly want peace, we really truly want our imaginations to be redeemed, we need to be thinking upon those things that are true, noble, just, pure, all that, lovely, all those things that are of good report. You know, you would be so much better off to ponder what Karen's video, if you really want to live in that place of peace, man, meditate on that video today. Meditate on what God did in her life. And if you're finding yourself discouraged, God, I thank you that Karen had breakthrough. I thank you. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Like, that's so amazing. And we need to meditate on that. All right, let's turn back to, we're going to go back to Isaiah and just a few more keys. I passed Isaiah. Isaiah 26, again, verse 3 and 4. So we talked about fixing our thoughts, fixing our mind on him that will bring us into that place, that our thoughts and that will bring us into perfect peace. But here's a second key. Because he trusts in you. Such a key. I think one of the greatest attacks right now that we're under is, do we trust God? Do we trust God over even some of the things? You know, we co-labor. So I want to make this very clear. God calls us to co-labor. But the reality is, in some situations, in the end, it doesn't matter. We have to co-labor, but in the end, we got to say, Lord, I put my trust in you. You know, God wants us to be healthy. He says that. Shalom is health, but I can't just eat whatever I want. And so I got to eat healthy. I got to really, and we are focusing on making sure we're eating healthy. But in the end, if something comes against my body, I have to now trust fully in God and say, Lord, I got to trust you. I've done what I can do, but Lord, I need you to come in and also now heal my body. There is a trust level that we need to increase in this hour to say, Lord, no matter what I see in this world right now, I'm going to put my trust in you. We have got to get back into putting our trust in you. I realize right now when I find myself stressed, I have to sit down and ask myself, what am I not trusting God in right now? What fear is trying to creep in that I'm actually not trusting God? I'm actually more trusting my own way of making my finances if I'm afraid. But like Karen, let Karen's testimony be a beautiful testimony to all of us that, like Karen, when Glenn died, almost had nothing. And God came in, not because she was so good. God came in and yet knew her abilities and actually said, I got a job waiting for you. Watch what I'm going to do. So there's this always this balance of what we can do and calls us to do, but also complete trust to go, God, I'm out of my league here. You got to do something and watch what he does. Amen. All right. So we've looked at, I know we're going through a lot, but we've looked at taking every thought captive. We've looked at letting our thoughts and our imaginations, letting it lean into God, getting his thoughts in our brains. What is he thinking of? We talked about we need to let our trust come to a whole nother level. One of the greatest ways, I'm going to talk about two things. We've already talked about thankfulness and prayer, but I'm telling you right now, the greatest way to get into perfect peace is to get into the Word of God. You know, I don't know if anybody, and I have tried this, I'm notorious for if I've ever gone away and, you know, you've got buffets, all you can eat. You have those buffets morning, noon, and evening. You know, I'll tell you how many times I've walked in and in the morning and I've went, man, I'm going to feed fully and I don't need to eat when I come in for lunch. I'll grab a salad. So I just, man, I pile on my plate for breakfast and I eat all that I can. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat for lunch, maybe a salad and I'll be good for evening. And then I walk into the buffet to grab my salad in the afternoon. And what do you think happens? I see all the food that's out there and I need to eat again. And then at dinner time, I'm like, I'm just not going to eat dessert. But when you just see so much food in front of you, you want to eat. None of us would go, you know what? I've eaten a big meal today. I'm good for the entire month. You know, if, you know, some of you have probably been fasting. You know, we've dreamt, our imaginations have dreamt about food. The reality is, and I'm going to turn to a few scriptures, turn to John 1. You cannot live by one day alone of just a sermon that I'm preaching. You will never find yourself in perfect peace if you try to live off of the sermon I'm preaching. Now, the sermons that we preach are supposed to be catalysts for you to get into the Word and discover this for yourself. That's why I want you to take notes. In John 1, we clearly see the Word became flesh. Let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God, the very living Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. So the Word is Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It literally means that this word is life. And when we eat of it, even if you don't feel like you're getting it, or even if it's you don't feel like you're it's going in, it still is life. I can eat something and 20 minutes later be hungry again. I don't doubt that I ate. I just know I'm hungry again. And so we need to learn to eat on this. You know, we could turn to John 15. We're just running out of time. It's going so quick. But John 15 talks again about abiding, living. It says you can do nothing outside of living in God. And living in God literally means to eat the word of God on a daily basis. I would even say we need to learn in this season to probably be doing it morning and evening. We need to get up with the Bible and the word of God, and we need to go to bed with the words of God. Because our imaginations in the night could be wreaking havoc with the very peace that he's trying to bring in. The word of God. Last thing. I know I'm going fast, but I wanted to get a lot into you today. You ready for the last thing? Me too. I'm trying to find it. All right, turn to, we're going to look at Romans 14, 17 and John 14. Let's do John first, John 14. We already started with it. So the key, John 14, 25 and 27. It says this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither be it afraid. Literally, the Holy Spirit has been given as a gift of peace to us. So you've got the Word of God that we can read, and you've got the Holy Spirit that you can invite often to dinner. And literally say, Holy Spirit, right now, you are peace, and I don't have any. I don't feel like I have any. It's actually, let me rephrase it. It's really a lie to say that we don't have peace, because Jesus and Holy Spirit is our peace. So we'd be better off saying, Holy Spirit, I'm not currently feeling very peaceful, but I know that you are peace. I know that you are in me, and the Holy Spirit wants to work in me and through me. So right now, I need to rest and rediscover your peace. We read it again. We said in Romans 15, 13, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you begin to look, and I encourage you to begin to look, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit. Peace is one of the gifts, because he is peace. And so in this hour, just to wrap it up, I feel like I've been blabbing really quickly a lot. I want to go back to Andrea's devotional. I love the fact that she takes the word, it says Exodus 33, 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. She highlights that we often think of a Sabbath, the Sabbath rest. And that word is literally to sit, to breathe, to stop. And she equates that with the other word that is usually for breath and Holy Spirit, which is ruach. That we need to nuach, rest, sit down, stop, and breathe in the Spirit of God. And I want to close with wrapping it up with this. You know, sometimes I think we're so afraid. You know, I think the church has lost things, and the world grabs a hold of it, and then we get afraid of it, but it was actually the understanding that the church had. You know, when I went through a season of anxiety that, you know, that's a whole story, but when I went through that season, I began to understand that I was not letting myself rest. And I mean, I was not taking time to just simply sit before God. And you know, it's interesting, the mindfulness has become a huge thing. And it's a good thing. Mindfulness is simply stopping and becoming mindful. What you become mindful is where you go astray. If you stop and become mindful of what God's doing, you're hitting it right on. But it's interesting, as I began to study, there was such an understanding that the breath is the key to peace and rest in mindfulness. And I thought, they have an understanding that sometimes the church doesn't, because they understand that the breath is the key. Now you add into that that the breath is the Holy Spirit, that when we learn to stop and breathe in the breath of God, what that is doing for us, it changes everything. So wrapping it up, if we truly want the peace that surpasses all understanding, what the Old Testament, what Isaiah says, this perfect peace, this shalom shalom, this superabundance over the top of peace, there's a part that we play, taking our thoughts captive, trusting God that he has a plan. Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts, the purposes, the plans that I have for you. It's a full of hope. It's full of peace. It's right there, Old Testament, New Testament. And that was actually in captivity. He had a plan of hope for them. Being thankful, being grateful for what we do have. Going into prayer when we're unsettled. And simply learning the art of shutting everything off and breathing in the presence of God. Listen, if you're trying to stop and you're flipping through your phone and you're like, I'm stopping and having my quiet time, but I'm flipping through my phone, that is not what we're talking about. I would encourage you, and we live in a beautiful day of technology. You can find, you know, for me, because I love the sound of water, I love beaches, I just love nature. I have found some great just ocean waves and beautiful Christian piano music. And I take time often. People probably, I don't know if you've ever seen me, but at times I'm laying on the floor in the office. I do it at home. I just lay before the Lord and I put on this music and I just say, Lord, I'm stopping. Because my mind is running a million miles an hour. I'm just stopping and I'm resting. And I say, Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to take over my thoughts. Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to take over my anxiousness. Holy Spirit, I breathe you in. I stop. Church, let us be those that carry perfect peace. I believe that this is going to become an hour where some of the things that we will do will actually be witnesses to a world that are desperate for it. We can't copy culture and expect them to want to come in. They need to see something that's genuine. And when they see somebody that carries perfect peace, they'll want to get close to you and they'll want to try to figure out what you do. Amen. I want to read one last thing as I bless you, church. This is, again, it's the fatherly blessing, the priestly blessing. And it has the word peace in it, so that's why I'm doing it today. All right, church, the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father God, I thank you for our body of believers. I thank you that we are learning to be in peace. And I ask, Father God, during this coming week, as we finish the cleanse, Lord, I pray that we would each become diligent, that we would fight for peace, that we would pursue peace in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, because out of that flow the wellsprings of life, that you would begin to do something through that. You would even begin to speak to us on a whole nother level in those moments. But Lord, I thank you that we don't have to go into those moments trying to hear from you. We need to go into those moments simply resting in you. Lord, may we not be people that have to talk all the time. Lord, I think sometimes we go into prayer needing to talk or needing to have a revelation, but you want us to simply just be with you, rest in you, and have your Ruach rest upon us. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.